Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, hospitality, loving the stranger. In our gospel lesson, we see a remarkable act of hospitality, a remarkable act of love, of kindness, of mercy. Especially when the hero was so different from the victim he saved. Samaritans were descended from intermarriages between Israelites and foreigners. They reminded the Jews of their conquerors, of the exile, who brought these foreigners into their land centuries before. And they followed a mixed, corrupted religion, combining elements of Israelite worship with practices of their old pagan rites. As a result, the Jews deeply resented the Samaritans, and the feeling was mutual. How would we fit into the same story? A boy was going to school in the United States for the very first time. He had been a good student in Mexico, but now his father had come to the United States to work, and the boy knew almost no English, leaving him feeling anxious and nervous, feeling very much alone. Reuben wondered how he would know where to go, what to do on that first day of school. Even more, he wondered if anybody would even talk to him. And the morning was all right. He sat at his desk with all sorts of things happening in front of him. He didn't quite understand, but no one expected him to, at least not yet. He'd catch on eventually, his father had told him. Then came recess. Now, everybody was running, playing, laughing, having fun with all of their friends, but not Reuben. He wished somebody was playing soccer because he could do that without talking, probably better than any of the kids there, but no, these boys were playing American football, and they didn't invite him in. So Reuben sat on a swing all by himself. Lunch was worse. Reuben's class went through the line together, but as soon as they were assigned to their tables, Reuben felt alone again. Nobody noticed that he was looking for a seat. Everyone seemed to be having a grand time. Somebody must have said something funny because everybody was laughing, and even one boy had milk come out of his nose. But Reuben didn't get the joke. He sat at the very end of the table, and he just ate. The afternoon dragged, but finally it was 3 o'clock. A teacher led all the children to the front curb, and students piled into buses and cars, but what? No bus, Diaz, the one that Reuben had ridden to school in the morning. Diaz! Diaz! Reuben cried out, the teacher not understanding what he said. He wondered how in the world he was going to get home. Reuben, came a voice from behind him. I know where you want to go. You were on my bus this morning. Reuben didn't understand a word, but he went along with Joshua because he took him by the hand. Bus 10 doesn't go in the afternoon for some reason, Joshua tried to explain to him. We take bus 32 home. Reuben shrugged his shoulders and just grinned. That's my stop, Joshua pointed out the window. I'll stay on the bus until it comes back around, and I'll get off the second time because it makes a loop. The ride went fast enough. Even though the boys couldn't understand each other, they couldn't understand what they said. Reuben suddenly recognized his street, got up, said gracias as he got off the bus. See you tomorrow, said Joshua. Reuben didn't understand those words either, but he understood the smile. He understood the time that Joshua had taken, and he understood the hospitality. Trudy had planned to celebrate her 83rd birthday on Tuesday. But she had nowhere to go. Age had robbed her of her strength, and it was slowly stripping away her mental capacity too, leaving her helpless in a nursing home. To my mother, a son could never choose his mom, and perhaps that's just as well, because if each son could choose, I know you'd be one busy gal. Have a great day, Mom. You're the best. Love, Dean. That's so sweet, the attendant said as she put down the card. Be nice if he came around every once in a while, she thought. Hi, this is Diane Wilson, Trudy Jones' daughter. The woman on the phone was in a hurry. Could you wish my mom a happy birthday for me? We told her that we were going to stop by tomorrow, but as it turns out, we just can't. She probably won't remember anyway, so if you could just tell her, thanks. We'll send flowers or something. Thanks so much. Bye. Diane just called to wish you a happy birthday, Trudy. Oh, Diane's coming over tomorrow. Tomorrow's my birthday. Have I told you that? I'll turn 83. Perhaps the next day, Trudy didn't remember. Maybe she wasn't disappointed that nobody came for her birthday. But when the noon meal was over and all the other residents had been rolled back down the hall to their bedrooms, she stayed in the dining room and sat in that empty room, that quiet empty room, all by herself. For a long time, Trudy sat alone. Then bouncing into the room came a pretty little girl, 13 years old, with high energy, enough energy for both of them. And she said, hi, I'm Sarah. I'm volunteer and I just started today. Are you Trudy? Trudy nodded. Well, I hear it's your birthday. Trudy brightened up. I'm 83. But then suddenly, Trudy was 13 again. Telling stories about that birthday, telling stories about her children's birthdays, you could almost see the candles glowing in her eyes. Just a second, Sarah said as she jumped up from the table. And in a minute, she was back carrying a little dish of banana pudding with whipped cream on top and a candle burning. I think we need to have a party, Sarah said. And then she began to sing, and you can join in with me. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Trudy. Happy birthday to you. God's blessings to you. God's blessings to you. God's blessings. Jesus loves you. God's blessings to you. Sarah didn't ask what Trudy had wished for when she blew out her candle that day. But we know this. Trudy received the gift of hospitality. Now just one more. I was going downhill fast and didn't even know it. Even before I was born, I had fallen into the clutches of sin, beating me down and leaving me spiritually dead. I was just lying there, helpless. Nothing I could do to save me. Neither could anybody else. Because everyone who passed by was wrapped up in the same selfishness, the same sin that I was in. Unless someone had done something fast, I would have perished forever in hell. But then along came my good Samaritan, who took pity on me, who had compassion for me, and picked me up in his arms, and he delivered me to safety. He even paid the cost of my care himself. And he promised he'd come back for me. Now I'm bandaged and healed and loving life. Whose story is this? Who is the neighbor? Who showed me hospitality? The story of the Good Samaritan is actually every person's story, with Jesus always as the hero. The story is not first and foremost about anything that we do. That's secondary, and it's important. But first, it's really about what Jesus has done. What Jesus has done for each and every one of us in this room. What Jesus has done for us. He has picked us up into His arms, and He has carried us to safety. He has forgiven all of our sins. To us who were helpless and could do nothing for ourselves, He gave us life. In our baptism, Jesus picks us up in His arms, and He delivered us from death and the devil into eternal life. The price He paid, of course, was His own life on the cross. And Jesus, He continues to come back each and every day. He comes back with forgiveness. He comes back with His word, His daily care, until finally He will return someday to take us to heaven. That finally is your story. This is the story of hospitality that God has had towards us, that guides us to show hospitality. Scripture commands us, keep practicing hospitality. And that word practice means that sometimes you're going to get it right, sometimes you're going to get it wrong. Practice. It's what we do in the gymnasium. We practice basketball. It's what we do in the dance hall. We practice dance routines. It's what we do in the choir room. We practice songs. And so hospitality needs to be practiced. And thanks be to God, He had hospitality on us first. Love the stranger. Keep practicing hospitality. And let me add this. During these unprecedented times of COVID-19, you will have plenty, plenty of opportunities to practice hospitality. So keep loving one another as you are loved. Amen. As followers of Christ, keep loving one another earnestly and show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Amen. In order to